Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, a mystery guest. The questions were football player, no. Athlete, yes. Baseball, yes. Red Sox, yes. Was the guy in Seinfeld? We don't know. I thought he was when he was a Yankee. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. And is his number retired? I believe he has two numbers retired. He has one in Boston at number 26, and he has one in Tampa Bay, which would be number 12. Is he up there on the line right now, guys?
Yeah, he gave us a thumbs up.
He's agree with you.
You guys are going to put him up. And I would say this. It's the only reason that Lou Maloney can show up at Fenway Park, look out to right field, and say, damn it, son. Look it. They retired my freaking number.
Let's find it.
Who is your guess, Glenn?
Wade Boggs.
Who is your guess? You got Wade Boggs. All right, yeah. Lou, what's your guess?
Wade Boggs.
Your guess is Wade. Okay, my guess is Wade Boggs also. Because I was going to say Barry Bonds because I couldn't remember, but fine. I will say Wade Boggs as well. We got three Wade Boggs. Ryan, play the resume.
This mystery guest has a legal first name of William. He played professionally in three different decades in Boston, New York, Houston, and Toronto. Some call him Rocket. And no, it's not Jerry Carabas.
Oh!
Mystery guest.
Oh!
Reveal yourself.
Oh! Who is this?
We know who this is
this
now.
This is the Rocket.
God, how did we get this wrong?
I have a complaint.
Well, I could have come on. The better mystery clue is I have a new name that I'm DJ No Request now. I answer to that as much as I do Rocket now, all this music that we're playing. So,
Roger Clemens on our
Roger,
mystery
I gotta
guest.
Say this, man. I was duped because one of the questions was, is his number retired?
By the University of Texas, it is.
Oh,
see, you that, they see, technically, you screwed that up.
Oh,
you
bastard. All right, it's good.
That
I like
was
it.
A trick question.
So, I saw you a video of you the other day with you and the boys hitting some fungos or hitting in the batting cage. What were you doing? I saw some stuff.
Yeah, we got a little work in today too. There's about they've been coming by the house and using the gym too. But we finally got outdoor to an outdoor field Monday and Wednesday, and they needed to get outdoor and. We're just encouraged. There's about, 6-7 minor league guys and a handful of big league guys, but I'm just trying to encourage them as things start to open up here in Texas a little more with all the craziness that they get outdoor and get around the bases. We try and encourage them to stay about 2 weeks out. You know, you get a phone call, you got to be within 2 weeks to be able to really have your body going and be ready to go. I'm like everybody else. I'm hopeful. I'm confident that baseball is going to be played this year, and I hope minor league ball too. Like you guys said, my two young ones play for Toronto and Detroit respectively. So, I just encourage them to get out and take some live ground balls, hit on an outdoor field, and yeah. We've got a couple places here where we can do that. So, they're trying to stay ready. I just like I said, it's just been a pretty unique situation.
Yo, Roger, hey, I'm curious. What exactly are they hearing? Because we're talking about the Red Sox trying to build a farm system. You know how it is. Some 19-year-old kid in high A. Next thing you know, he's a top prospect because he has a great year. Those kids, your sons, are you hearing anything about minor league season? Because those are valuable years, as you know, in the development.
100%, brother. I mean, it's so important for them right now on their journey, on their path. So they're only hearing. I've talked to the league office a couple times just on some other stuff that might go on. A little bit of talks about the game that they're going to have, hopefully, you know, in Iowa, if that thing's still going to go on. But I'm hearing kind of probably what you guys are hearing. I'm hearing if it's a restart, a reset, you know, 15 to 21 days maybe in Arizona, Florida. And this is big leagues now. They're concentrating on getting the big boys going first, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, we're hearing rumblings down here that some of the people, you know, we own the Corpus Christi team and the Round Rock team. We sold the Corpus Christi team. We still got Ryan and Sanders. We still have parts of that. Nolan Ryan's part of it in Round Rock. But we've been hearing rumblings that the Arlington area is in consideration because you got the two stadiums, the big league stadium. The new Ranger Stadium is supposed to open up, and the other one's not even that old. I mean, they played, I think, XFL in it this year. And then you've got Frisco. Frisco is where it's a double-A stadium, really nice. It's where I annually hold, we hold a Red River Shootout charity softball game there with Toby Keith. And then the other one is, you know, Round Rock. So you got Frisco and Round Rock. So you got four stadiums in a proximity that if you were going to play, say, 1 o'clock game, 7 p.m. game, double hitters, you would have the teams in that kind of area. Obviously, mm-hmm. You know, they're talking about no fans out of the gate. And then just go from there. So, like you said, there's still a lot up in the air.
Well, hey, Roger, what's the fear factor like out there in Texas? You know, because I see, you know, Tom Brady's getting you know rushed off a park in Tampa, yeah, because he's practicing. And you talk about your boys getting out there, at least getting some ground or just getting some fresh air, getting some work. What's it like in Texas? Are they pretty militant about it, or are they?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, we're trying to stay, you try and stay within the guidelines. And when I go into any of the grocery stores, you know, I've got my mask on, and, you know, I've got a couple crazy ones. I feel bad because the people look at you like you might be coming in to rob the place or something. But, you know, so you're going through there, and, but the people are, I mean, guys, the thing that, done a couple of Zooms the other day with Nance and Jack Nicklaus and some really fun things. And the overall thing for me is, in my neighborhood, I've seen more of, I mean, it's like we've gone back to the 50s or 60s. I think it's brought out some great qualities in people. I mean, you wave to somebody, they wave back, they smile at you now, they almost want to stop and talk at that six-foot distance with you. There's just a ton of people out on the sidewalks or jogging or, you know, getting their walk in. And so I kind of look at it, you know, as a positive that way. And other than when you meet somebody, and we've had two people that we know that have passed away because of the COVID-19. So it keeps, you know, as soon as you start to relax about it a little bit, something hits you right in the face and brings back the seriousness of it again. So again, when the boys are out, we're trying to, you know, keep our group in small groups you know, let them get their work in. And the interviews we did here with the local channels, they all had, you know, the 6-foot microphones to stand away from us. And so everything that you're trying to practice is, you know, like I said, it's just kind of crazy times.
Our mystery guest today is Roger Clemens. All three of us were duped on it. We got the wrong guy. We got Wade Boggs.
Bad hints.
Yeah, terrible. And Roger Clemens is the guy. I've got to ask you this. You got 2 years left in the Hall of Fame, and you know why some of the people are not voting for you, though I thought it was encouraging with the votes you got this past year. You got two more years to get in. First of all, do you think now you've got a much better shot of getting in? And second of all, does it piss you off? Does it upset you that you might go by with your great career and not get elected into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it doesn't piss me off. I think after the first 1 or 2 years, it's pretty much been the same thing every year for us. So, I mean, it really doesn't control our world or anything like that. So, I mean, it's same answer. I mean, it's a press record and play. I have zero control over that stuff. So I can't, you know, you have no control. I know what I did. I know I had the great career I had. I know I did it right. And I went out and proved it. And I appreciate the guys that are voting, the ones that look at the facts. You can't control the other outside noise, nor would I. And bottom line, guys, is it's not somebody calling me a Hall of Famer is not going to make a difference in the great career I had one way or another. So it's not going to change me as a person. It's not going to make a difference. You know, like I tell people, that's what I did. It's not who I am as a person. When you guys saw me on the mound, very tenacious, very into what I'm doing. That was instilled in me by my mother and my grandmother. I watched my mom work three. When my father passed away, I watched her raise six of us, work three jobs. So when I went to work, I went to work. And I wore that town, that city on my chest proud. And I had a lot of teammates that were counting on me to perform. And you wanted to perform for the fans. There's nothing worse, and I can tell you, driving home from Fenway, and you went out there and laid an egg, and you know all these people came to watch you work. And you didn't do your job. It's the worst feeling ever. So and then again, like I said, I kind of think it's more of a selfish me I kind of thing anyway. So if the opportunity comes, I have a boatload, especially the catchers I've had over the years. I had some fantastic catchers over the years that paid attention to detail. I called about 90% of the game from the mound with my looks with the catchers that. You know, when a guy got traded to another team, we had to change it up big time because I knew the catcher in the other dugout knew some of my looks and you know, what we were doing as far as our sign calling. But a lot of great, you know, when the 20 strikeout game comes around, either one of them or another milestone, or they're showing these highlights, these reruns like they're doing while we're all kind of in our houses, in our homes, I get wonderful texts from so many teammates, and you know, that's what makes it the so special for me.
Yeah, I had a tough time watching one of those memorable games the other night. It was Game 7, 2003. It was my last game here in Boston, and I know early in that game maybe it wasn't the best for you. You know, I think Trot might have got you, but my question is, because I was in the other dugout, what were you thinking in the eighth inning when Pedro came back out?
Man, brother, I don't. I mean, I have to pull the game in. I'm sure Trout hit another split finger I threw to him. I mean, no,
it was the Aaron Boone home run, and Petey went out there. Grady left him in a little bit too long.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, old Yankee Stadium. I use that quote that Ty Cobb used on Babe Ruth in the movie Cobb. My sister Florence could hit the ball out of right field at Yankee Stadium. You know, so, but no, he probably hit a split out if that was the game, and then. Yeah, I kind of remember. I think the big talk on that was that you know, Pedro went out for an extra inning. I don't know what his pitch count or whatever, and then just, you know, like you said, all hell broke. That was the Booney homer.
Yep.
And then what I thought was going to be my last start, as we continued on into, I think we were playing the Marlins. I think down in Miami, I came out of the gate and got down quick, man, and I had to take a deep breath, step off the mound, says, man, because I thought it was going to be my last start. What was to be my last start in the pro ranks, and I had to collect my thoughts and get it together, and I think I ended up getting six or seven decent innings, and we climbed back in. I think we lost an extra innings in that one, but just so many, as you know, the playoffs are what it's all about. I mean, I tell people my first couple of years, you know, I get drafted by Boston. My first couple of years, it was, you know, I needed to do well to make some money, and so I could take care of my family, my mom, and pay her house off and all that stuff. But after, you know, I think won the first Cy Young, I was like, all right, I got a little staying power. And then it was back in my University of Texas mode where we're here to win. You're here to win championships. You need to get to the postseason and win. And same thing I tell everybody when they're here at the house looking at the Cy Youngs. I said, I think about five of those were tied to playoffs. You know, the other ones, you get a individual award and way to go, you're awesome, and you get a pat on the back, and you go home and sit in the couch and watch the guys in the playoffs, and it sucks. So that's what was, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to play in six World Series.
So I got to ask you, I know you're talking about signs earlier. I know you guys dealt with it, you know, it was a little bit different back when you played. What do you make of all this sign stealing, second base, relaying signs, the way the game is right now, the issue that you have with these controversies?
Well, the relaying signs, that's easy to do. If somebody's that lazy with their signs or whatever you want to do, and as you know, when somebody, you know, I did it many times, you know, with Getty or whoever it is, you know, where I did it with a lot of my catchers, you know, Osmus so many times, Charlie O'Brien. I would call him to the mound when, you know, a guy maybe leadoff double and he's sitting out there for 15 minutes hunting our signs, and you think something's up, you call your catcher out, and I tell him, listen, I'm going to go fastball in, and then no matter what, split. say the count's 2-2, whatever. And I said, hear the consecutive. It's like calling two plays in the huddle on a two-minute drill in football. Yep. And so I would call. I'm going fastball in for a strike, hopefully, and if, regardless what happens, if it doesn't get him, we're going to come back with split, no sign. And he goes back there and drops down, and he just kind of waves his glove at you, bring it, and then the hitter steps out and calls time. So then you know something's going on because there's no relay. So you find stuff out that way, and, like I told the guys down here, I mean, I hated the way that it went down for him, and in the comments, basically, they just, again, what I call the propeller heads upstairs, they figured out that, you got these monitors downstairs that everybody's looking at their at-bats, and they figured out, hey, we can do a live feed, and then technology, how great is technology? It comes down to banging on a trash can. And you're talking about crazy, but, you can't do that. There's so many other ways, and there's so many pitchers, even in the major leagues. I can think back to 86, Dwight Gooden. That's when you had your finger sticking out of your glove, and for some reason, Doc would throw fastball, his pointer finger would lay on the leather on his glove, and when he got ready to throw curveball, his pointer finger would come straight up off his glove, and we had him. And then the next thing you know, they're making the gloves with the piece of leather on there where you can shove your finger in it so your finger doesn't move.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So that's why I encourage the kids that are here and even the big league guys that are throwing here last week at the house that you practice perfect. So when you're under duress, your weaknesses don't show. So you have to practice perfect every time, whether you're in prayer position, wherever you're going to go with your glove. We had so many guys, and I'm sure you could sit over there and when you get in a big stressful game, especially any kind of playoff game or something, whatever your weakness is or your bad habit, it's going to show. We had a reliever. I won't mention his name. You guys know him. But when he came set with fastball, he came just underneath his bill. And to get his curveball, it took him a little longer, and he would cover up the logo on his hat. And we had him back-to-back. I think it was the only time – I think we were down like 2-1, and two pitches later, we won the game 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth in Yankee Stadium because we told the guys it's 100% that he does this, so just keep an eye on it. And you just got to pay attention. You have the young guys, always have the young guys on the bench just spitting sunflower seeds. Pay attention to the guy on second. Make sure he's not crossing over these media rooms now that you have, if I go down the stadium in these media rooms, they've got 8 TVs in there, 50-inch, 70-inch TVs, and one of them's fixated on the catcher. You got his cadence by the second inning if you want him. And so the first guy hits a double. That's why you got to constantly try and change these, but you can't do it with a live feed, and I think that's where all hell broke loose. I'm sure, Mr. Crane, that's probably the question to ask. Hey, we're not doing anything we're not supposed to be doing that anybody else would be doing. And then, no, we're not, but then they were doing some kind of live feed, and I thought A.J. Hinch was very candid on his interview that I saw.
It is amazing that nobody picked up high tech, as you said. Nobody picked up the hitting of the trash can. You figured people would figure it out. We just looked this up, Roger.
If the hitter can hear it, your catcher can hear it.
Right.
Now, and your first baseman's got to be able to hear it.
In
the old days when you could knock some guys down without, getting fined or thrown out of the game?
Now you get suspended.
Like Bob Gibson or Don Drysdale?
Yeah, I don't get it.
You're talking about Drysdale. I did his radio show. I was like 20. I told the story. I was like 22 years old. And I did. I pitched against the Dodgers in Winter Haven, spring training, and I think it was Dick Bresciani. Bresch comes in and says, hey, there's a guy here, you know him. He used to pitch for the Dodgers, and Don Drysdale, he's got a radio show and wants to talk to you now. I said, yes, I'll go out there. And he was a big, booming man. He's about 6'5".
Sure was.
And he was so soft-spoken, and then when he got done doing his radio interview, he turned his microphone off his tape player and said, kid, let me tell you something. He goes, you know what my best damn pitch of the game was? I go, no, sir, Mr. Drysdale. He says, this is my second damn knockdown pitch. I said, huh. He goes, you know why, son? I go, no, sir. Now I'm shaking like the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz. And he's like, because that way the hitter knew the first one wasn't a damn mistake. And I was like, yes, sir, Mr. Drysdale. I ran out of the batting cage. He's like, you scared me to death.
We will leave you with this. You had pretty good success, I would say. Well, so success against Lou Maloney. You struck him out twice. His one hit against you was a triple.
Ooh, stop that.
Yeah, triple.
I was throwing batting practice to him.
1-for-3, Rocket. 1-for-3. I'll take it.
There you go. What's wrong with that?
No, I'll take it.
Yeah, I get you paid, doesn't it?
He gave me a little cookie, outer half. I think he took something off.
I get you paid these days. 1-for-3.
Yeah. But
an all-star.
Yankees won that one 4-0, by the way. Just bringing it up. Roger, thanks for coming on today, being a mystery guest. And you got us. You got us good.
You got it, guys. Y'all be safe up there. Hello to all the fans and everybody up there. And I can't wait till they kind of open it up so I can get back up to Beantown.
You stay well
as well. Thanks, Roger.
We'll talk to you.
Right,
thank you. There you go. Roger Clemens, today's mystery guest. How did we screw that up?
It's a crappy.
God.
Man, Tyler screwed this up. I'm telling you, I'm taking the questions away from him.
Yeah.
He's purposely
the number
leading
retired.
Us down the wrong road.
Because
even the Simpsons one, I think, is a lie.
Yeah.
Because Clemens and Boggs did the Simpsons together.
Yes, they did.
And that's why I asked the retired number question to see which one it was.
Yeah, and he said yes. Yeah. Because his number was retired in college or high school?
College, Texas.
Hey, Fourier, got an idea for you. Let's change the rules again tomorrow.
I'm going to.
All right, we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.